Hello everyone, this is the ninth night of 1001 Nights, and tonight the long story of the fisherman and the genie is coming to an end, and another very exciting story will begin. Join me to see what will be the fate of the fisherman. "When it was the ninth night," she said, "it hath reached me, O auspicious king, that when the young woman, the sorceress, took in hand some of the torn water and spoke over it words not to be understood, the fishes lifted their heads and stood up on the instant like men. The spell on the people of the city having been removed, what was the lake again became a crowded capital. The bazaars were thronged with folk who bought and sold. Each citizen was occupied with his own calling, and the four hills became islands as they were whilom. Then the young woman, the wicked sorceress, returned to the king, and still thinking he was the negro, said to him, 'Oh, my love, stretch forth thy honored hand that I may assist thee to rise.' 'Nearer to me,' quoth the king in a faint and feigned tone. She came close, as to embrace him, when he took up the sword lying hid by his side and smote her across the breast, so that the point showed gleaming behind her back. Then he smote her a second time and cut her in twain and cast her to the ground in two halves. After which he fared forth and found the young man, now freed from the spell, awaiting him, and gave him joy of his happy release, while the prince kissed his hands with abundant thanks. Quoth the king, 'Wilt thou abide in this city, or go with me to my capital?' Quoth the youth, 'O king of the age, wottest thou not what journey is between thee and thy city?' 2 days and a half, answered he. Whereupon said the other, 'And thou be sleeping, O king, awake! Between thee and thy city is a year's march for a well-girt walker, and thou hadst not come hither in 2 days and a half, save that the city was under enchantment. And I, O king, will never part from thee, no, not even for a twinkling of an eye.' The king rejoiced at his words and said, 'Thanks be to Allah who hath bestowed thee upon me. From this hour thou art my son and my only son, for that in all my life I have never been blessed with issue.' Thereupon they embraced and joyed with exceeding great joy, and reaching the palace, the prince, who had been spellbound, informed his lords and his grandees that he was about to visit the holy places as a pilgrim, and bade them get ready all things necessary for the occasion. The preparations lasted 10 days, after which he set out with the sultan, whose heart burned in yearning for his city whence he had been absent for a whole 12 months. They journeyed with an escort of Mamelukes carrying all manners of precious gifts and rarities, nor stinted they wayfaring day and night for a full year, until they approached the sultan's capital and sent on messengers to announce their coming. Then the vizier and the whole army came out to meet him in joy and gladness, for they have given up all hope of ever seeing their king. And the troops kissed the ground before him and wished him joy of his safety. He entered and took seat upon his throne, and the minister came before him, when acquainted him all that had befallen the young prince. He congratulated him on his narrow escape. When order was restored throughout the land, the king gave largesse to many of his people and said to the vizier, 'Hither the fisherman who brought us the fishes, So he sent for the man who had been the first cause of the city and the citizens being delivered from enchantment, and when he came into the presence, the Sultan bestowed him a dress of honor and questioned him of his condition and whether he had children. The fisherman gave him to know that he had two daughters and a son. So the king sent for them, and taking one daughter to wife, gave the other one to the young prince and made the son his head treasurer. So the daughters are like property. They give and take to each other, and the boy gets a real job. That's how it worked in the old ages, just so you know. Furthermore, he invested his vizier with the sultanate of the city in the Black Islands belonging to the young prince, and dispatched with him the escort of 50 armed slaves together with dresses of honor for all the emirs and grandees. The vizier kissed hands and fared forth on his way, while the sultan and the prince abode at home in all the solace and the delight of life, and the fisherman became the richest man of his age. And his daughters, wives with the kings, until death came to them. And yet, O king, this is not wondrous than the story of the porter and the three ladies of Baghdad. So you know that I read the Persian version of the stories before I record the English version. Ooh, and I enjoyed reading this story. This is fine. This is good. You're gonna enjoy hearing this before going to bed. One more note on the story, on the tale of the fisherman and the genie. Last night, I came across this movie by chance, 3,000 Years of Longing. And it was like an adaptation of the story of the fisherman and the genie. Mostly it was about the genie, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but if you like the tales of 1001 Nights, you may find this movie also entertaining. So check it out. Let's get on with the tale of the porter and the three ladies of Baghdad. Once upon a time, there was a porter in Baghdad who was a bachelor and who would remain unmarried. It came to pass on a certain day, as he stood about the street, leaning idly upon his crate, behold, there stood before him an honorable woman in a mantilla of Mosul silk, broidered with gold and bordered with brocade. Her walking shoes were also purfled with gold, and her hair floated in long plaits. She raised her face veil, and showing two black eyes fringed with jetty lashes, she's beautiful, whose glances were soft and languishing, and whose perfect beauty was ever blandishing. She accosted to the porter and said in the soberest tones and choicest language. How am I going to imitate soberest tones and choicest language? Take up thy crate and follow me. The porter was so dazzled he could hardly believe that he heard her aright. But he shouldered his basket in hot haste, saying to himself, Oh, day of good luck! Oh, day of Allah's grace! And walked after her till she stopped at the door of a house. There she rapped, and presently came out to her an old man, a Nazarene, to whom she gave a gold piece, receiving from him in return what she required of strained wine clear as olive oil. And she set it safely in the hamper, saying, Lift and follow. Quoth the porter, This, by Allah, is indeed an auspicious day, a day propitious for the granting of all a man wisheth. See, men are simple creatures. This is all we wish for. He again hoisted up the crate and followed her till she stopped at the fruiterer's shop and bought from him Shami apples and Omani quinces, and bought from him Shami apples and Osmani quinces and Omani peaches and cucumbers of Nile growth and Egyptian limes and Sultani oranges and citrons, besides Alpine jasmine, scented myrtle berries, damascene, nenuphars, flowers of privet and chamomile, blood-red anemones, violets, and pomegranate bloom, eglantine and narcissus, and set the whole in the porter's crate, saying, "Up with it!" So he lifted and followed her, till she stopped at the butcher's booth and said, "Cut me off 10 pounds of mutton." She paid him his price, and he wrapped it in a banana leaf, whereupon she laid it in the crate and said, "Hoist, O porter!" He hoisted accordingly, and followed her as she walked on, till she stopped at a grocer's, where she bought dry fruits and pistachio kernels, Tihama raisins, shelled almonds, and all wanted for dessert, and said to the porter, "Lift and follow me." So he up with his humper, and after her till she stayed at the confectioner's, and she bought an earthen platter, and piled it with all kinds of sweetmeats in his shop, open worked tarts and fritters scented with musk and soap cake, and lemon loaves and melon preserves, and Zainab's combs, and ladies' fingers, and Kazi's titbits, and goodies of every description. And my mouth is watering. And placed the platter in the porter's crate. All these goodies, and a beautiful lady. Simple men wish for. Thereupon, quoth he, being a merry man, "Thou shouldest have told me, and I would have brought with me a pony or a she-camel to carry all this market stuff." She smiled and gave him a little cuff on the nape, saying, "Step out and exceed, not in words. Allah willing, thy wage will not be wanting." "Girl, it's no time for being mushy-mushy and cute. Just, I know it's his job to carry stuff, but it's a lot of stuff, your boy." Then she stopped at the perfumer's and took from him 10 sorts of waters, rose scented with musk, orange flower, water lily, willow flower, violet, and 5 others. And she also bought 2 loaves of sugar, a bottle for perfume spraying, a lump of male incense, a low wood, ambergris and musk, with candles of Alexandria wax. And she put the whole into the basket, saying, "Up with thy crate and after me." He did so, and followed until she stood before the green grocer's, of whom she bought pickled safflower and olives in brine and in oil, with tarragon and cream cheese and hard Syrian cheese. And she stowed them away in the crate. Saying to the porter, "Take up thy basket and follow me." He did so, and went after her till she came to a fair mansion, fronted by a spacious court, a tall, fine place to which columns gave strength and grace. At the gate thereof had 2 leaves of ebony inlet with plates of red gold. The lady stopped at the door, and turning her face well sideways, knocked softly with her knuckles, whilst the porter stood behind her, thinking of naught save her beauty and loveliness. Of course he was thinking about her beauty and loveliness, you. What did you think he was thinking about? Presently, the door swung back, and both leaves were opened, whereupon he looked to see who had opened it, and behold, it was a lady of tall figure, some symmetry and perfect grace. Oh my God, another beautiful lady. Her forehead was flower white. Let's hear the description of her beauty. It's gonna be amazing. I like it. Her cheeks like the anemone, ruddy, bright. Her eyes were those of the wild Haifa or the gazelle, with eyebrows like the crescent moon which ends Shaban and begins Ramadan. So these two are the names of 2 months of the Islamic calendar, which is based on lunar cycles. So end of each month will result in a very thin crescent moon. Anyways, her mouth was the ring of Suleiman. Our Suleiman, your Solomon. Potato, potato. Her lips, coral red. And her teeth, like a line of strong pearls of or of chamomile petals. Her throat recalled the antelopes. Nice. And her breasts, like 2 pomegranates of even size. I like 2 pomegranates of even size. Stood at the bay, as it were. Her body rose and fell in waves below her dress like the rolls of a piece of brocade, and her navel would hold an ounce of benzoin ointment. What? Why are you talking about her belly button? I don't know, apparently in the old ages, a big, deep belly button is considered beautiful? What do you think? In fine, she was like her of whom the poet said, O sun and moon of palace, cast thy sight. Enjoy her flower-like face, her fragrant light. Thine eyes shall never see in hair so black beauty encase a brow so purely white. The ruddy, rosy cheek proclaims her claim, though fail her name whose beauties we indite. As sways her gait, I smile at hips so big, and weep to see the waist they bear so slight. In other words, I like big butts, and I cannot lie. That's pretty much the same thing. When the porter looked upon her, his wits were waylaid, and his senses were stormed so that his crate went nigh to fall from his head. And he said to himself, never have I in my life seen a day more blessed than this day. Of course he didn't. Then quoth the lady portress to the lady cateress, come in from the gate and relieve this poor man of his load. So the provisioner went in, followed by the portress and the porter, and went on till they reached a spacious ground floor hall, built with admirable skills and beautified with all manner colours and carvings, with upper balconies and groined arches and galleries and cupboards and recesses whose curtains hung before them. In the midst stood a great basin full of water, surrounding a fine fountain, and at the upper end of the raised dais was a couch of juniper wood, set with gems and pearls, with a canopy like mosquito curtains of red satin silk, looped up with pearls as big as filberts and bigger. Thereupon sat a lady, bright of blee, with brow beaming brilliancy, the dream of philosophy. Brows were arched as for archery. Her breath breathed ambergris and perfumery, and her lips were sugar to taste and carnelian to see. Oh my God, the third beautiful lady came into the play. Her stature was straight as the letter I, and her face shamed the noon sun's radiancy. And she was even as a galaxy, or a dome with golden marquetry, or a bride displayed in choicest finery, or a noble maid of Araby, right well of her sang the bard, right well of her sang the bard when he said, her smiles twin rows of pearls display, chamomile buds or rimery spray, her tresses stray as night let down, and shames her light the dawn of day. The third lady, rising from the couch, stepped forward with graceful swinging. Gait till she reached the middle of the saloon, when she said to her sisters, "Why stand ye here? Take it down from this poor man's head." Then the cateress went and stood before him, and the portress behind him, while the third helped them, and they lifted the load from the porter's head, and emptying it of all that was therein, set everything in its place. Lastly, they gave him 2 gold pieces, saying, "Wend thy ways, O porter." But he went not. Of course he didn't went on, for he stood looking at the ladies and admiring what uncommon beauty was theirs, and their pleasant manners and kindly disposition never had he seen goodlier. And he gazed wistfully at that good store of wines and sweet-scented flowers and fruits and other matters. Also, he marveled with exceeding marvel, especially to see no man in the place, and delayed his going. Whereupon quoth the eldest lady, "What aileth thee that goest not? Haply thy wage be too little?" And turning to her sister and the cateress, she said, gave him another dinar. But the porter answered, "By Allah, my lady, this is not for the wage. My hire is never more than 2 dirhams. But in very sooth my heart and my soul are taken up with you and your condition. I wonder to see you single, with ne'er a man about you, and not a soul to bear you company. And well you wot that the minaret toppleth over, unless it stand upon 4, and you want the same 4th. He's using a construction method as a metaphor. A minaret toppleth means that the minaret will topple, the building would collapse if it wasn't standing on 4 columns or something like that. And he is saying that you 3 beautiful women need a 4th. And women's pleasure without a man is short of measure. I don't know about that the women's pleasure without a man is short of measure. You ladies must understand. If any of you had any opinion about this, I would be happy to hear it. Even as the poet said about the woman's pleasure without a man being short of measure, "Seest not we want for joy 4 things all told, the harp and lute, the flute and flageolet, and be thy companied with scents 4-fold, rose, myrtle, anemone and violet. Nor please all 8, and 4 thou wouldst withhold, good wine and youth and gold and pretty pet." I don't know about that last one. "You be there and want a 4th, who shall be a person of good sense and prejudice, smart-witted and one apt to keep careful counsel." His words pleased and amused them much, and they laughed at him and said, "And who is to assure us of that? We are maidens, and we fear to entrust our secrets, where it may not be kept. For we have read in a certain chronicle the lines of one Ibn al-Sumam, 'Hold fast thy secrets, and to no one unfold. Lost is a secret when that secret's told. And fail thy breast thy secret to conceal, how canst thou hope another's breast shall hold?' And Abu Nawaz said well on the same subject, 'Who trusteth secret to another's hand, upon his brow deserveth burn of brand.'" Well, that's a lot of doubtfulness. When the porter heard their words, he rejoined, "By your lives, I am a man of sense and a discreet, who hath read books and pursued chronicles. I reveal the fair and conceal the foul, and I act as the poet adviseth. None but the good a secret keep, and good men keep it unrevealed. It is to me a well-shut house, with keyless locks and door unsealed. When the maidens heard his verse, and its poetical application addressed to them, they said, "Thou knowest what we have laid out, all our monies on this place. Now say, hast thou aught to offer us in return for entertainment? For surely we will not suffer thee to sit in our company, and be our cup companion, and gaze upon our faces so fair and rare, without paying a round sum. Of course they are self-aware of how beautiful they are. Wottest thou not the saying, sans hope of gain, love's not worth a grain?" Whereto the lady portress added, "If thou bring anything, thou art a something. If no thing, be off with thee, thou art a nothing." She's essentially saying, if you bring something, then so be it. If not, then leave. But with a super complex sentence building. But the procuratrix interposed, saying, "Nay, O my sisters, leave teasing him, for by Allah, he hath not failed us this day. And had he been other, he never had kept patience with me. So whatever be his shot and scut, I will take it upon myself. Look, that lady that I criticized earlier for being mushy-pushy and cute when he was suffering on the weight of that all of that grocery shopping, she is keeping her back. She is having his back. So, don't be too hasty to judge people. The porter, overjoyed, kissed the ground before her and thanked her, saying, "By Allah, these monies are the first fruits this day hath given me." Hearing this, they said, "Sit thee down and welcome to thee." And the eldest lady added, "By Allah, we may not suffer thee to join us, save on one condition. And this is it, that no questions be asked as to what concerneth thee not, and forwardness shall be soundly flogged." Answered the porter, "I agree to this, O my lady, on my head and on my eyes be it. Look, I am dumb, I have no tongue." Don't lose yourself, man. You've been playing it pretty good so far. Then arose the provisioneress. What? Then arose the provisioneress, and tightening her girdle, set the table by the fountain and put the flowers and sweet herbs in their jars, and strained the wine and ranged the flasks in row and made ready every requisite. Then sat she down, she and her sisters, placing amidst them the lucky porter, who kept deeming himself in a dream. Of course you keep deeming yourself in a dream. This is amazing. And she took up the wine flagon and poured out the first cup and drank it off, and likewise a second and a third. She is hasty. After this, she filled the fourth cup, which she banded to one of her sisters. And lastly, she crowned the goblet and passed it to the porter, saying, "Drink the dear draught, drink free and fain, what healeth every grief and pain." Yes. Words of admiration for alcohol. Always, always welcome. He took the cup in his hand and returned his best thanks and improvised, "Drain not the bowl save with the trusty friend, a man of worth whose good old blood all know. For wine, like wind, sucks sweetness from the sweet, and stinks wherever stench it haply blow." Adding, "Drain not the blow save from dear hand like thine, the cup recalls thy gifts, thou gifts of wine." After repeating these couplets, he kissed their hands and drank and was drunk and sat swaying from side to side and pursued, "All drinks wherein is blood the law unclean, doeth hold say one the blood shit of the wine." Shit? Did I say shit? No. "All drinks wherein is blood the law unclean, doeth have doeth hold save one, the bloodshed of the vine. Fill, take all my wealth, bequeathed or won. Thou fawn, a willing ransom for those eyne. Then the cateress crowned the cup and gave it to the portress, who took it from her hand and thanked her and drank. Thereupon she poured again and passed it to the eldest lady, who sat on the couch and filled yet another and handed it to the porter. He kissed the ground before them, and after drinking, thanking them, he again began to recite,
Here, by Allah, here, cups of sweet the dear, fill me up, brimming bowl, the fount of life I spear.
Then the porter stood up before the mistresses of the house and said, O lady, I am thy slave, thy mameluke, thy white thrall, thy very bondsman. And he began reciting,
A slave of slaves there standeth at thy door, loading thy generous boons and gifts galore. Beauty, may he come in a while to joy, thy charms for love when I part nevermore.
She said to him, Drink, and health and happiness attend thy drink. So he took the cup and kissed her hand and recited these lines in sing-song, sing-song.
I gave her brave old wine that, like her cheeks, blushed red or flame from furnace, flaring up. She bust the brim and said with many a smile, How durst thou deal folk's cheek for folk to sup? Drink, said I, these are tears of mine whose tinct is heart blood sighs have boiled in the cup.
She answered him in the following couplet,
And tears of blood for me, friend, thou hast shed, suffer me sup them by thy hand and eyes.
Then the lady took the cup and drank it off to her sister's health, and they ceased not drinking, the porter being in the midst of them, and dancing and laughing and reciting verses and singing ballads and dancing and laughing and reciting verses and singing ballads. All this time the porter was carrying on with them, kissing, towing, biting, handling, groping, fingering, whilst one thrust a dainty morsel in his mouth, and another slapped him, and this cuffed his cheeks, and that threw sweet flowers at him, and he was in the very paradise of pleasure, as though he were sitting in the seventh sphere among the houris of heaven. They ceased not doing after this fashion until the wine played tricks in their heads and worsted their wits. And when the drink got the better of them, the portress stood up and doffed her clothes till she was mother naked. This is getting interesting. So look, this is apparently a recipe for your hangovers. So get ready. However, she let down her hair about her body by way of shift, and throwing herself into the basin, disported herself, and dived like a duck, and swam up and down, and took water in her mouth, and spurted it all over the porter. You naughty girl, and washed her limbs, and between her breasts, and inside her thighs, and all around her navel. Then she came up out of the cistern, and throwing herself on the porter's lap, said, O my lord, O my love, what callest thou this article? Pointing at her slit, her solution of continuity. Oh my god, I can't believe I'm reading this. I call that thy cleft, quoth the porter. And she rejoined, Wow. Art thou not ashamed to use such a word, you naughty porter? And she caught him by the collar and soundly cuffed him. Said he again, Thy womb, thy vulva. And she struck him a second slap, crying, Oh fie, this is another ugly word.
Is there no shame in thee? Quoth he. Thy coynter. She cried, O thou art wholly destitute of modesty. And thumped him and bashed him. Then cried the porter, Thy clitoris.
Fucking hell.
Whereat the eldest lady came down upon him with a yet sorer beating and said, No. And he said, 'Tis so. And the porter went on calling the same commodity by sundry other names. But whatever he said, they beat him more and more till his neck ached and swelled with the blows he had gotten. And at this wise they made him a butt and a laughing stock. At last he turned upon them, asking, And what do you women call this article? Whereto the damsel made answer, The basil of the bridges, cried the porter. Thank Allah for my safety. Aid me, and be thou propitious, O basil of the bridges. Basil of the bridges. They passed round the cup and tossed off the bowel again. When the second lady stood up and stripping off all her clothes, cast herself into the cistern and did as the first had done. Then she came out of the water and throwing her naked form on the porter's lap, pointed at her machine and said, O light of mine eyes, do tell me, what is the name of this concern? He replied as before, Thy slit. And she rejoined, Hath such term no shame for thee? And coughed him and buffeted him till the saloon rang with the blows. Then quoth she, O fie, how canst thou say this without blushing? He suggested, The basil of the bridges. But she would not have it, and she said, No, and struck him and slapped him on the back of the neck. Then he began calling out all the names he knew, Thy slit, thy womb, thy coynter, thy clitoris. And the girls kept on saying, No. So he said, I stick to the basil of the bridges. And all the three laughed till they fell on their backs and laid slaps on his neck and said, No, that's not its proper name. Thereupon he cried, O my sisters, what is its name then? And they replied, What sayest thou to the husked sesame seed? Then the cateress donned her clothes, and they fell again to carousing. But the porter kept moaning, Oh and oh, for his neck and shoulders, and the cup passed merrily round and round again for a full hour. After that time, the eldest and handsomest lady stood up and stripped off her garments, whereupon the porter took his neck in hand and rubbed and shampooed it, saying, My neck and shoulders are on the way of Allah. Then she threw herself into the basin and swam and dived, sported and washed, and the porter looked at her naked figure as though she had been a slice of the moon, and at her face with the sheen of Luna when at full, or like the dawn when it brighteneth. And he noted her noble stature and shape, and those glorious forms that quivered as she went, for she was naked as the Lord made her. Look at the right format. Then he cried, Alack, Alack, and began to address her, versifying in these couplets. If I liken thy shape to the bow and green, My likeness ears, and I sore mistake it. For the bow is fairest when clad the most, and thou art fairest when mother naked.
Oh my God!
Yes, beautiful women are at their beautifulest when they are mother naked. Of course, this couplet is right. When the lady heard his verses, she came up out of the basin, and seating herself upon his lap, and knees pointed to her genitory, and said, O my lord Ling, what be the name of this?
Why are they all concerned with the name of body parts? Quoth he. The basil of the bridges. But she said, bah. Quoth he. The husked sesame. Quoth she, pooa, pooa. Then said he, thy womb. And she cried, fie, fie. Art thou not ashamed of thyself? And coughed him on the nape of the neck. And whatever name he gave, declaring, 'tis so, she beat him, and cried, no. Till at last he said, O my sisters, and what is its name? She replied, it is entitled the Khan of Abu Mansur. Whereupon the porter replied, O Allah be praised for safe deliverance. O Khan of Abu Mansur, then she came forth and dressed, and the cup went round a full hour. Another round of drinking. Amazing. At last the porter rose up, and stripping off all his clothes, jumped into the tank, and swam about and washed under his bearded chin and armpits, even as they had done. Then he came out and threw himself into the first lady's lap, and rested his arms upon the lap of the portress, and reposed his legs in the lap of the cateress. Holy shit! And pointed to his prickle and said, Oh my mistresses, what is the name of this article? All laughed at his words, till they fell on their backs, and one said, Thy pinto. But he replied, No, and gave each one of them a bite by way of forfeit. Then they said, Thy pizzle. But he cried, No, and gave each one of them a hug. Oh, you're so cute, porter. They hit you and you hug them. Oh no, and Shahrazad perceived the dawn of the day and ceased saying her permitted say. I don't want this story to be finished at this point. This is going so good. Anyways, I have to send you to bed, and I wish you a sweet, sweet dream. I'm so excited to read the rest of this story of the porter and three ladies of Baghdad. Let's see how it goes in the next night. Sleep tight. Thank you.